This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello, welcome to another Asian Pop Experiment podcast. We had a chance to have a chat to a Vietnamese artist called Eton. He is really cool, and he is in Melbourne this weekend performing live at a really big Vietnamese shindig. So we were really excited to be able to get a chance to have a chat to him. Here is the full interview. When I say the full interview, I mean a good 35 minutes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this one. If you want to learn more about us, you can find us on Facebook. Just look for the Asian Pop Experiment. You can Twitter us, Asian Pop X, or you can stalk Kane, and I will give you his address later.
Jason Kane. Crazy with a K. Pop. Joy 94.9.
It is the Asian Pop Experiment on Joy 94.9 and online at joy.org.au. Jace, Kane and Mitch with you. Kane.
And we have with us today, Eton, a Vietnamese singer.
Yay. Welcome to Melbourne.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Hello. Hello, everybody from Joy FM and everybody listening.
So how long have you been performing?
Well, I've been performing since I was a little kid, but to be professionally performing, I would say it started in 1998.
You started singing when you were younger. Was singing in the family, or it was something that you just got into yourself?
No, my mom and dad would never let me be a singer.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, being in a Chinese family, my father is very, very strict with business, and he doesn't like any of his children get involved with the arts, and I actually went behind their back and study vocal training.
Yeah.
and acting and dancing and all that stuff behind their back.
Wow. So how did that make you feel? Like, I mean, because obviously it's something you were passionate about, but you knew at the same time you're going behind mum and dad's back. Was that hard for you?
I think it was very hard because first I think it was like I'm not being able to do what I really like to do.
Yeah.
But in the case like I'm not lying to my parents trying to do something that they really don't want me to do, but they never said that they don't want me to do it. They just don't seem to show any encouragement.
Yeah.
That's right.
How did you hide it? Did you do other studies at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when I was at school, my teachers always asked me to do like a performance for them. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the performance done without my parents knowing, so mm-hmm. kind of like at school, so it's okay. But then I left Vietnam in 1986. My parents didn't come with me, so I guess I did my training over here in Australia. Yeah. They wouldn't know anyway. But I don't mean to hide them, but I never told them that I did it. So in a way,
you didn't lie to them. You just didn't tell them the truth.
Believe it or not, we have heard that before from people that listen to the Asian Pop Experiment.
Yeah.
So you can finally leave because mum and dad aren't around. Are they quite proud of what you're doing now and supportive? Open to what you're doing? Supportive, yeah.
Yeah, well, sadly, my father passed away in 1985, but my mom passed away about 1999.
Okay.
So I told her when I got my first professional job, and I was like expecting her to like scold me, but she didn't, and she was really kind of encouraging. She didn't say much, but she said, "Okay, if that's what you know, that's what I wanted to do." She didn't really mind about that.
Wow. Yeah, if only everyone had that kind of story when they came out to their parents. Yes. maybe one day. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
What kind of music do you usually make? Well, what sort of genre?
I'm pretty much with pop at the moment. So with all my albums that I have released, they are all pop music.
Okay,
but I have a big influence from musical music as mm-hmm. well. Yeah. And
sure.
Yeah. And Chinese traditional, not Chinese traditional, Chinese canto pop.
Sure.
And also Vietnamese folk songs and things like that. So that have some influence in my music as well.
Also a bit of R&B, right?
Yes. Yeah. With R&B, pop R&B in my albums.
I think it would be frowned upon to be a Vietnamese artist and not have some sort of R&B influence.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty big at the moment.
Yeah. I know. It seems to be, even when I listen to like I recently bought an album from a singer called Justin Nguyen.
Yes.
And he did this cover album or something, and it's all of like traditional Vietnamese pop, and it all sounds really R&B-ish.
All right.
And it's like old Vietnamese music, but it sounds really, really R&B.
Yeah, like, I guess they all wanted to kind of like
emulate and integrate
R&B mm-hmm. taste into the
Vietnamese pop.
Yeah, the Vietnamese pop.
Yeah.
And I think because R&B, as you said, it's very popular now, and everybody tried to to have that in their albums as well.
Yeah. But that's rubbing off on a lot of different countries in Asia, especially like Korea and maybe Japan. Even China.
Well, now because R&B in America and mainstream is now you know, electronic techno and club music and even a little bit of dubstep. So that's spreading like wildfire in Asia.
In China, I know they're very, very big on R&B. For the pop singers, for like the young pop singers, they're just really, really into the R&B feel of it. Yeah,
But and that's like, why Flow Rider teams with absolutely every person there is in Asia.
Everyone in Asia. Yeah. Right from Malaysia to Korea.
So three albums now. Each album, a mix of Vietnamese language, Mandarin, Cantonese, or not quite?
No, not quite. Okay, my first album, which had all three languages in them.
Great.
And that has English, that has Vietnamese, that has Chinese in them. But then after that, my second album, that I kind of like make it more like just one style rather than like too many styles in one album. Mm-hmm. So from the second album onward, it was just purely Vietnamese.
Okay.
Yeah. But I sing live in gigs and in performances, in events and things like that. Then the music can then be different. Like it will cover all the kind of like languages as well. Yeah.
So growing up at home with your folks, were you speaking Vietnamese and Chinese?
Yes. With my father, we only spoke Chinese. With my mom, sometimes Chinese, sometimes Vietnamese.
Okay.
But with my sisters, we only spoke in Vietnamese.
So pretty fluent there with both the three languages, really?
No, actually more fluent with Vietnamese.
Yeah.
But because we don't practice enough Cantonese or Chinese at home, so it was a bit hard. I learned more and more as I watched more and more Hong Kong TV series.
Okay. You know what I mean? How much English did you know when you moved to Australia?
Very little.
Okay. You know. So mostly taught through primary school, high school?
Yes. I actually studied a lot of English when I was in Vietnam before I came to Australia. Just that my father and my mother are really, really keen on me, learning foreign language. And English was pretty big at the time. But as you know, like many people, when they were studying, if you're not practicing the language in real life, you kind of don't hold on to it. And so I actually study a lot, but I don't retain anything. Mm. So when I came to Australia, it was really a big struggle.
Very valuable.
Yeah, very, a big struggle because like my history was always like D. I couldn't, read and write well.
Yeah.
And also, but my math was okay.
Yeah.
And I was bullied at school as well because I wasn't.
An Asian kid being good at math.
Whoa. Yeah. What's going on?
What are the odds?
Well, why were you bullied?
Actually, you probably could tell us the probability of that.
Yeah, that's right. I was bullied because, firstly, I couldn't speak English very well.
Okay.
And I was kind of like, look a bit like, too different.
All right.
And so,
this was high school in Australia?
It was high school in Australia.
It's really crazy nowadays. Like, in the last 10, like even the last 5 years, Australia has like jumped in terms of multiculturalism.
I think so. A lot more wider acceptance. And when I went to school, it was a bit like that. Everything was quite segregated. But my youngest brother is 9 years younger than me, and he came home from school one day and was a bit frustrated. And I said, what's going on? He says, I keep getting picked on at school because I'm white.
Yeah.
Which I said, times have changed.
Oh, God.
But it's nice. But generally, they all get along quite well, and they have a bit of a laugh and pick on each other's background. Yeah. But it all in good fun.
Yeah.
And they all get along really well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you get stopped on the street for autographs?
Not a lot, but I do in Vietnam. Because in Vietnam, I started to get a little bit more well-known now after I finished a TV show, which is a reality talent search show, which is kind of like a take on from Making the Band from the US.
Okay.
And we were looking for a girls band, and I was one of the judges in the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool. You'll have to post some YouTube footage of that on our Facebook wall later.
Is the band still active?
Yes, the band is still active, and they have just released a single, actually. Yeah.
Wow. See, that's when you've made it, when you're a mentor on a reality TV show.
I want to hear the song.
Yeah.
Is it hard to break into the Vietnamese music industry when you don't have the kind of backing of a TV show?
Yes. In Vietnam, actually, it was difficult because, like, in Vietnam, you have so many singers. So many people can become singers. And I think the system also works differently to, the system that we have here in Australia.
Sure.
And I'll just give you an example. Like, for example, here we have really good administrative systems that, you know, protect the writers and the singers' rights. But in Vietnam, we don't have that at the moment.
Sure.
And so a lot of the people who are singers, they can survive from people who they know and, you know, how much money they have and things like that to really market themselves.
Yeah.
But for those who don't have all that kind of facilities, you kind of have to struggle to get to the level that
you
want.
Where you start to get noticed, at least. Yeah.
Are
there other markets in Asia that you're interested in? Perhaps Korea or Japan? Or
actually, I was very, very much into the Chinese market and the Korean market. The only thing I like about Chinese is because I think I can speak Chinese.
Yeah.
But when I was in China, they said no. Aww. The Chinese is not high, right?
Well, so in particular, like which part of China?
You know, it doesn't matter. But I think if I would be in China, I would have to sing Mandarin. But I really like Shanghai. You know, I really like Shanghai. But Guangzhou or Canton is where my father comes from. So, so I have a little soft spot for Canton as well.
Sure.
Korea, I don't know the language, but I really like their style of the music and the performers. I really like their, you know, choreography as well.
So
I
really,
you know, like, I would love to go to any of those. Yeah.
How different do you think the Vietnamese music scene is to the Chinese music scene? I mean, I guess there's different components of that, being, you know, the Hong Kong scene and the Taiwan scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, how different do you think they are?
I think first of all, the most apparent thing is that Chinese music is more international.
Sure.
Because it's it has developed much longer before Vietnamese music, and because Chinese are everywhere now, you know, in the world, and so therefore.
There's some Vietnamese in Melbourne too.
Yes, the Vietnamese are everywhere too. I mean, not compared to, you know, if you
not as wide. Yeah,
statistically, statistically, I think the Chinese are...
They're doing well.
Yeah. Well, like 20 years ago, Hong Kong is, you know, like the next Hollywood place where they produce a lot of music and a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And so therefore all over the world is like kind of like watching Chinese music and Chinese movies from Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's how it has spread much more widely than Vietnamese music.
The Korean music industry has done a very good job, say, in the last
8 years.
Maybe even eight to 10 years to promote themselves, especially in Japan, when Japan and Taiwan used to be, I guess, Japan and Taiwan were
the
leaders in Asian pop music,
much. Of course.
And so, you know, do you think that maybe that has something to do with the governance, maybe even the government of Vietnam not getting behind their local artists and trying to find ways to promote them overseas?
Yes, I think so. Like, for example, Korea, as I heard from a Korean friend, he actually said that in Korea...
Was it G-Dragon?
In Korea, yes, exactly. In Korea, the government actually funded, you know, the arts industry for people to really, you know, put their efforts into performing and making their products. But in Vietnam, we don't have funding for that. Mm. You know, most of the singers funded themselves.
Sure.
And yeah, so it's kind of really difficult.
Yeah.
Now, we've noticed that your whole third album, which we've got in our hands here at the moment, is also available online, so you can pretty much get onto a certain website that we've noticed that keeps popping up, where you can basically stream the whole album, listen to the songs in full. How does an artist make any sort of money and keep going when you've got all your album up online for free? Yeah. How does that work?
Yeah, that's the other difference with Vietnamese music industry, is that because as a new artist, usually we have to get our music out somewhere, and those websites are actually those that actually let us, you know, let people know of our music. And you know, people now also cannot earn from their selling albums and selling their music now, but actually earn from live performances. So that's how we learn our living, from our live performances. And also,
so basically now you don't sell albums and you don't get any sleep.
That's right. And there's another way. If you actually have your music online, a lot of people get to hear it. And then they have a system where you have like a ringtone. A ringtone. So that's where we get our money to.
Good marketing.
From the ringtone.
Yeah, it's very popular in Asia.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so you promised us a bit of a live performance or two tonight. What song are you going to sing for us first up?
Right, this first song would be a cover, followed up by two of my other original songs. But the cover, this one is the one that I really, really love. It's a song that was written by Dan Hill and Barry Mann, and it is called Sometimes When We Touch.
I know I'm going to enjoy this. You're on Joy 94.9, the Asian Pop Experiment.
You ask me if I love you, And I choke on my reply. I'd rather hurt you honestly than mislead you with a lie. And who am I to judge you on what you say or do? I'm only just beginning to see the real you. Sometimes when we touch, the honesty is too much, and I have to close my eyes and hide. I wanna hold you till I die, till we both break down and cry. I wanna hold you till the fear in me subsides. Romance and all this strategy leaves me battling with my pride. But through the insecurity, some tenderness survives. I'm just another writer to trap within my truth, a hesitant prize fighter to trap within my youth. And sometimes when we touch, the honesty is too much, and I have to close my eyes and hide. I wanna hold you till I die, till we both break down and cry. I wanna hold you till the fear in me subsides. At times I'd like to break you and drive you to your knees. At times I like to break through and hold you endlessly. At times I understand you, and I know how hard you try. I've watched the love commence you, and I've watched love pass you by. At times I think we're drifters, searching for a friend, a brother or a sister, but then the passion flares again. And sometimes when we touch, the honesty too much, and I have to close my eyes and hide. I wanna hold you till I die, till we both break down and cry. I wanna hold you till the fear in me subsides.
Very so nice.
Thank you very much.
Eton with Sometimes When We Touch, a cover. Very nice.
Thank you very much.
You're on the Asian Pop Experiment on Joy 94.9 with Jace, Kane and Mitch. And we still have with us in the studio Eton, Vietnamese recording artist, to talk a little bit about what he does and a performance that's coming up this weekend in Melbourne, which we're very excited about. Given the chance, which kind of artist would you like to work with?
I would really love to work with...
Drum roll.
I was always looking up to Whitney Houston.
What can be said right now?
Yes, Whitney Houston, Christina Aguilera, Beyonce, Chris Brown.
So really, you know, the R&B pop icons of American music.
Yes,
scene.
And also some of the guys from Korea.
Really
in Korea.
Which ones?
Super Junior.
Excited.
The Big Bang.
And Super Junior, just because there's 13 of them and they'd be in the one room.
That's a bit scandalous. But yes, I also Andy Lau from Hong Kong.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Aaron Kwok. I was always looking up to those guys. But I did fulfill my dream by working with Andy Lau. So I was very happy.
Wow.
Yeah.
When I hear you talking about the being in touch with the Chinese music scene and Andy Lau in particular, yeah. I keep thinking of this other Vietnamese singer I just recently heard of. His name's Andy Quat or something like that. Like,
Andy Quat. Yeah.
He's like part Chinese, right?
I only found that out because I was singing with him the last 2 weekend here in Melbourne.
Oh, wow.
But he's actually from America. He's Vietnamese Chinese.
Okay.
But there's another Aaron, but Aaron Kwok. Aaron Kwok is a Hong Kong artist.
Mm-hmm.
But Aaron Kwok is a Vietnamese Chinese.
Yeah.
Well, we know artist. Who you want to work with now. What would your ideal venue or place be that you would like to perform at? Or maybe even a city that you'd like to perform at that you haven't yet.
You know, what I really love is my ultimate dream is actually to sing in a big stadium.
Yeah.
You know, the MCG and things like that. That's my ultimate goal.
But like the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, Hollywood Bowl. But my biggest stage that I've worked with was at the, you know, I was at the State Theatre working with the Australian Opera. I did that. So that was a great stage to work with.
Yeah.
But I worked at the Majesty Theatre.
Her Majesty's Theatre, yeah.
With the Miss Saigon musical. Mm. So that was another big stage that I worked with and was very, very proud.
Tell us how you felt when you got notification that you were going to be part of Miss Saigon. That's amazing.
Yeah, that was a big step for me. I think that was like, you know, I was thrilled. I've been through so many auditions while I was in Australia and Sydney. You know, like, there was a lot of rejections too, but there was a lot of, offer that, you know, I did a few movies too. I did We Can Be Heroes, you know, TV series, and I did Martial Law, on Channel 7 as well as a supporting role. So, but when I got to Miss Saigon, which is another big step in terms of music and dance. So that was kind of like another big thing for me that I could learn a lot and experience a lot. When I knew about it, I was very thrilled. And I thought, okay, this is going to be another, period of time, which is about 14 months that I'll be with the company and I'll be working and I will be really working hard with them. Yeah.
Is it especially hard having an Asian background at some auditions that you perhaps get overlooked very quickly because you're of a certain background?
Yes, that's a really good question. I'm really glad you asked me that question. Yes,
feel free to answer it completely honestly.
Yeah. Well, I had I think most of my auditions that I would not be called was because I'm Asian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think that's because it's prejudice. It's just because that a lot of scripts or a lot of stories are written for the majority, which is doesn't include Asian. But so Asian is still a very minority in terms of population. We're still very small. So not many scripts are written for us. So therefore, there's
Asian
no
roles
for us. Mm. So which is fair enough. So
there was actually an article in the local newspaper, The Age. Yeah. Newspaper recently about a New Zealand artist who was saying much the same thing, and he had quite a few actors behind him agreeing with him that the local writers of TV series and movies just aren't making those writing those characters in, and they're saying that, and I totally agree that our local TV just finds it really hard to even have the stereotypical, you know, this Asian or, you know, African American type role.
Or even then, in American movies and stuff, when they do remakes of any type of Asian media at all, it's always done with Caucasian actors. Yeah. Like, even when they are actually supposed to be Asian characters, like, for instance, Avatar, Dragon Ball Z, blah, 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 blah. List goes on and on.
And what happens when you go to the cinema in Melbourne and you watch a movie like this that doesn't have any of those Asian characters, you walk out of the cinema and 95% of the audience are Asian. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is there not a market for this? Like, you have to wonder, really.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about your performance in Melbourne this weekend.
Well, this weekend, two other singers who have been singing for a long time, 20 years or more, and they're pretty big. They have been quite popular since the past 10 years, maybe.
Yeah.
So they are really popular.
Mm.
So it's such a... They'll be coming here from Vietnam to sing in Oriana at Oriana Reception. And I have been very glad to be asked to be part of the performance with them.
Yeah. It's quite a lineup.
It's a huge break, right?
Because
they're so famous and popular that, you know...
Yes, to be standing next to them in a show that's the one, you know, that's a great step for me. And I think it's, you know, and I feel it's great.
And it's got to be good for networking, really, right? Because if they like what you do, then surely next time they've got a show in Melbourne or they've got a show back in Vietnam, and you might be there, that they might give you a call and ask if you want to take part in that. And,
yes.
Or refer you to a friend.
It's always good to have friends.
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah.
And that's where it starts, really, isn't it?
Yes.
Will there be any big surprises? Do you want to, can you give us the inside information? Will you be pulling out like a particular song that we might not expect? Maybe a cover or I don't know.
Or a new song.
Give us something.
I think, well.
What will you be wearing?
What will I be wearing? I don't know what I'll be wearing. Probably
He will be nude, apparently. Right on the edge of his tongue there.
As long as he has a mic. It's all good.
I think there will be lots of covers because it's more like a ballroom dancing show where the singer sings and
people
dance to it. And so they have like a generic kind of,
slow
dances that
songs.
We do. And yeah. And so most of them would be covers. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, before we get into your second track for the night, how can we find out more about you and your music? How do we purchase your album?
Okay.
Or just stream it online. But mostly purchase.
Well, in all the bookstores in Vietnam, they would have my albums on the shelves.
Cool.
And that's where our albums are being sold.
Sure.
But in Australia, I don't think the books, the record sellers have my albums yet. But usually when people like us, singers, come from Vietnam to Australia,
sure, yeah.
when we perform our live performances, that's where we sell our CDs
at the back of a car.
We sell a CD at the reception.
What about in DVD caves, CD caves,
CD
you know, in Vietnam, in the Vietnamese suburbs like St. Albans, Sunshine, Footscray, you know how they have
the big Vietnamese areas.
They have the DVD caves, but they're called. And
because I'm pretty new to the Vietnamese pop music industry, so they probably don't have my albums here yet.
Vietnam, the moment you finish this song, we are going down to Victoria Street in Abbotsford, and we're going to give them a pile of your CDs, and they're going to damn well sell them.
Thank you.
All right, let's get into your last track. Tell us about this one.
Okay, this one is a song that's written for me, and I'm the only one who have sung this song.
Ooh.
So it's kind of considered my original. it's called Vào Từ Đây, and it's written by the musician called Phúc Chu in Vietnam. And it's a song about love. It's about letting go of your love and be happy with what you are dealing with, I guess.
It sounds like it's going to be a nice inspiring one for people that have just broken up or planning to do so.
Yes.
You're on Joy 94.9, the Asian Pop Experiment.
Từ đây em về với người, còn lại anh nơi này vẫn đời. Con đường xưa vắng em, chỉ mình anh bước đi, tìm lại hơi ấm ngày xưa. Giờ này nhớ em hơn lúc nào, rồi lại nhớ thêm bao kỷ niệm. Em đã quên một người, yêu em đắm say. Từng chiều về cùng bước bên nhau. Gió có nghe thấy con tim anh đau từng phút giây. Nụ hôn xưa như đâu đây, còn nồng cháy bao nhiêu ân tình. Một mình lang thang trong cô đơn tìm lại em, tìm lại gì bao xưa. Con tim bật khóc khi cơn mưa vội vàng xóa tên em, xóa đi lời hẹn thề. Mình sẽ mãi bên nhau không rời. Con tim anh lạc lối về đâu khi tim em đã không còn yêu. Thank you. từ đây em về với người, còn lại anh nơi này vẫn đời. Con đường xưa vắng em, chỉ mình anh bước đi, tìm lại hơi ấm ngày xưa. Giờ này nhớ em hơn lúc nào, rồi lại nhớ thêm bao kỷ niệm. Em đã quên một người, yêu em đắm say, từng chiều về cùng bước bên nhau. Gió có nghe thấy con tim anh đau từng phút giây, nụ hôn xưa như đâu đây, còn nồng cháy bao nhiêu ân tình. Một mình lang thang trong cô đơn tìm lại em, tìm lại gì vàng xưa. Con tim bật khóc khi cơn mưa vội và xóa tên em, xóa đi lời hẹn thề mình sẽ mãi bên nhau không rời. Con tim anh lạc lối về đâu khi tim em đã không còn yêu. Trái tim này nguyện rằng mãi yêu em, sẽ đợi chờ dù là em đang vui cùng ai. Nếu như em quên anh thì xin em hãy giữ kỷ niệm xưa. Con tim bật khóc khi cơn mưa vội và xóa tên em, xóa đi lời hẹn thề mình sẽ mãi mãi bên nhau không rời. Con tim anh lạc lối về đâu khi tim em đã không còn yêu. Con tim anh lạc lối về đâu khi tim em đã không còn
He is a very talented man. It's Ethan of Vietnam. This is an Asian Pop Experiment podcast. As a bit of a podcast bonus for you guys for listening for the first 25 minutes, Ethan has very graciously offered us a third track. So this is another song from his album, and he promised to introduce it to us in both English and Vietnamese for us to play on the show at a later date. So again, and a bit of a bonus for you guys to thank you so much for listening all the way through this podcast and each of our podcasts. And again, we just really appreciate the support that you give to us, both me, Kane, and Mitch. Thanks, guys. Here's Ethan with his third song.
This is the Asian Pop Experiment on Joy 94.9, and you're listening to Ethan. With this next song is my original song. It's called Smile, written for everybody who has been through bad time or been bullied or been, looking by people who are judging you too much. It's called Smile. Xin cảm ơn quý thính giả đã theo dõi Đài Phát Thanh Joy 94.9 với The Asian Pop Experiment. Và đây là Ethan với ca khúc do chính Ethan sáng tác, ca khúc viết lên một nội dung khuyến khích tất cả những người mà đã sống trong thất vọng và đã sống trong sự khinh khi của những người khác, hãy lạc quan và sống tốt hơn trong cuộc sống của mình, với ca khúc tựa đề là Smile. Xin mời quý vị cùng nghe. Stay humble, drop of sunlight is bright enough to guide me there. 'Cause since I saw your smile, my darkest soul ignites. People talk and laugh at others, well it doesn't matter, 'cause what do they know?
What do they know?
We've all been through, and now it's time to let
go. Forget about your troubles. Let's all stand tall on solid ground. With just a smile, we will move on. Moving on today, yeah. Let the foolish people think they're smart. Then carry on and make the fuss. With just a smile, we will move on. Moving on today, yeah. Just stay humble, drop of sunlight is bright enough to guide me there. Cause since I saw your smile, my darkest soul ignites. People talk and laugh at others. Well, it doesn't matter, cause what do they know? We've all been through, and now it's time to let go. Let the foolish people think they're smart. Let them carry on and make the fuss. With just a smile, we will move on. Moving on today, yeah. Forget about your troubles. Let's all stand tall on solid ground. With just a smile, we will move on. Moving on today, yeah. Let the foolish people think they're smart. Let them carry on and make the fuss. With just a smile, we will move on. Moving on today, yeah. Today, today, I'll be forgetting.
Let's all stand tall.
I'll be standing tall.
You bet with me. Moving,
moving on, moving on,
moving on today. Let the foolish people think that's wrong.
Yeah.
Let's carry on and make
carry on.
With just a smile, we will move on.
Mm, yeah,
moving on today.
Ooh, I'll be moving on. No, moving on today.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.